Good morning, church.
Morning.
Welcome on this wonderful day of worship as we get to celebrate All Saints Day today, and really is a special day to remember that the Lord is risen indeed. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, a big thanks to all who helped with our card party and our Halloween party last night. A lot of volunteers made fun time for a lot of people and just some good Christian fun those nights. I want to make special mention of next Sunday. We are celebrating Moravian Women's Sunday, which is going to be a very special Sunday. I want to give special thanks to Letitia Wright for organizing this and for Millie Weston, who is willing to deliver our message. I think this is going to be a fun Sunday to see. Most importantly, I'll be shutting up and I'll be letting the women talk for once. So that'll be a special Sunday. And I'm excited to be reminded of all the wonderful ministries that they bring to our church. Please don't forget, Equipping the Saints, the workshop that we've been advertising for, is taking place here at Schönbrunn, Saturday, November 10th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is a $10 registration fee and needs to be mailed out by November 1st. So what I'm willing to do is I'm willing to send out any registration forms that anybody fills out today with the money. You can give to me, and I can send them out as a group if you'd like, if that makes life easier. But I would need that by the end of, I guess, after worship today. I would need that from you so that way I could send it out. But if you need somebody to send it out, you can send it. All the information is in the narthex on the registration form. But as many people as we can get at that, I really encourage those of you that are looking for the opportunity to not only strengthen your own leadership, but to equip the leadership around you. Marie Coates does a great job with this workshop. Spiritual Companioning will meet on Tuesday, November 6th from 7 to 8. We bumped it back a half hour. We will share an optional bring your own brown bag meal from 6:30 to 7. This has been a very meaningful time for me, and I've really enjoyed how this group has grown together. Newcomers are always welcome. We're not building on each week. We're covering something different each week. So if it's something you're interested in trying, please join us. And also, there will be a community Thanksgiving service at 6 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Sunday, November 18th. There will be a community choir for anyone interested, and a free meal of turkey dogs and cider after the worship will be provided. And we will take up an offering for a young man named Andrew at Kent State, who has started a ministry there. The last name escapes me, but if you follow Facebook, he's been going around to different people's yards and cleaning, mowing grass for free and doing all this labor, and he's turned this into a ministry that he started at Kent State as, I believe, a chaplain there. Sarah, is that correct? Okay. Yeah, I apologize, I don't have his name. But he's going to be the featured speaker, a great opportunity to learn more about all the wonderful ministries that are going on through our community and to see the ecumenical brothers and sisters of our community get together. Does anybody else have any other announcements? Yeah, Amy. No, we appreciate it. We look forward to the future events of Forever Family, and hopefully weather's a little more cooperative than it was this weekend. Any other announcements at this time? All right, we're going to take some time to acknowledge our October birthdays. For October, we have Katie Rabes, Karen Eichel, Carolyn Menapace. You can stand once I say your name. So Stacy Castor, Missy Martin, Mary Ann Creel, Jim Karcher, Floyd Swinderman, and Ron Martin. Let us sing together the Moravian birthday hymn as we wish all of them a Moravian birthday blessing.
Our dear Heavenly Father's love and
Let us greet one another.
Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Hi. Good
morning, Angie.
Good morning, Quiet.
You may remain standing as we join together for the watchword of the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 126th Psalm, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. You may be seated. Thank you, choir, for the wonderful song to get us into the spirit of worship today. At this time, I ask you to please rise for our call to worship. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob and shout for all the nations. God will bring us from far lands and gather us from all the ends of the earth.
God will lead us beside the streams of peace, for he is Father to all the nations of the world.
We may remain standing as we join together in the liturgy for All Saints' Day.
Behold, a great multitude, which no one can number, out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, stand before the throne and before the Lamb with palm branches in their hands.
And they cry with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God,
who is seated on the throne, into your way.
These are the ones of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in caves, and in holes in the ground. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were slain with the sword. They were burned at the stake. They were killed by an assassin's bullet. They were destitute, persecuted, tormented. These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and cleansed them in the blood of the Lamb.
Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they worship day and night in the temple.
They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to the springs of the living water.
And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Almighty God, Redeemer and Sustainer, we offer you thanks and praise for the holy lives of your servants, the prophets, the apostles, the martyrs, who have shone forth as lights in the world and sacrificed their lives in testimony of their faith. We thank you for the triumphant fellowship of all the saints in glory. We remember before you all who have been called to the more immediate presence of the Lord, and especially those most dear to us and our congregation. We rejoice in our present fellowship with them, in our continuing hope, and in the promise of eternal joy. Let the great cloud of witnesses, the innumerable company of those who have gone before and entered into rest, be to us an example of godly life. May we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, and may we obtain entrance into your eternal kingdom with the glorious assembly of the saints, worship and adore you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No.
In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Hear the words of the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, who was dead and is alive again. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Him who loves us and washed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests to God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
At this time, let us turn our tithes, offerings, and gifts over to God, and let us do so as the cheerful givers that God calls us to be.
Please rise. Let us pray together. On All Saints' Day,
help us to give thanks for the many saints who have lived among us. We know the Church has many famous saints, but there are many more saints in our own lives who have shown us what Christ-like love looks like. Let us continue to strive to share this love with all whom we encounter. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and minds over to a time of prayer, as we have much to turn over to God today. First and foremost, we think about the victims of the massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, who lost 11 lives. We continue to stand against violence and remind people that love is the way of life and that hatred has no place in our country, our religion, or in our hearts, and that we continue to be people of light and love. We also offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Shane McMahon. Shane was a member of Fries Valley who passed away last Friday, and I led a memorial service for him on Tuesday. He passed away from pancreatic cancer. He actually, with his dad, he started the car show at Fries Valley that many of you have fallen in love with, and it was a big hit there, so we continue to pray for him and his children that he leaves behind, as well as his parents. And we continue to pray for peace in our country after the attacks on our former leaders and media leaders and other people. And we continue to remind our country to be peace seekers, that we were born in community to love one another and to take care of one another, and that once again, hatred has no place in our society. And we pray for our kids and leaders going to the youth fall retreat in Indiana next weekend. They're going to have a great time. Cynthia Rader-Geyer, the head of our Eastern District Youth Programming, is going to be leading programming. I do have one note to pass along there. One of our drivers had to bail because Dover has a playoff game this weekend. So if you feel called by the Spirit to help us help Scott Miner out, help our youth out, and would consider driving for this weekend, please let me know. We are in a little bit of a pinch, so if you feel called to do that, Scott, would be great to have your assistance. Prayers for those traveling to and from our district board and PEC meetings in Bethlehem this weekend, our Eastern District Board, our Canadian District Board, and our Western District Board, along with our Provincial Elders Conference, is all meeting together. And you've seen the weather forecasts are a little bit rough this weekend, so safe travels for all of them, as well as my wife, who is coming home with them. She went back this weekend to help her mother and a lot of her family members clean out the house and try to pick things up around the place. So continued prayers for her as well. And then sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Jeff Samsel. Jeff would be actually Jeff's wife, Kim, would be Emily's mother's best friend. And her husband passed away at 52, also from an infection this week. And so we continue to uplift them in prayer. Good family friends. Kim was actually the cook for our wedding. So they're good friends, and we continue to uplift them in prayer. And on All Saints' Day of all days is an important reminder of the people that are now in our heavenly kingdom and the celebration of life they've been welcomed to. And we think about all the saints in our own congregation, and I think especially this year of one of the saints we welcomed home in Ted Canfield, and what a magnificent life he had. And I really challenge you to think about that as you leave worship today. All the saints who have made this church what it is today, who've allowed us to continue in ministry, because we are a small community, and had not those people stepped up and helped build this community, where would we be today? And we have a lot of people to be grateful for who have been welcomed into life eternal. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Good and gracious God, we come before you today seeking you because we realize that there has been so much hatred and so much violence in our country, in our world this past week. We ask you to rain mercy and love and justice on each of us and help us to remember that even if there are people we disagree with, even if there are people where we don't see their way of life and don't understand them, help us to remember that the reflection of Jesus lives within each one of those people, that everyone around us is to be valued, to be loved, and to be cared for, because this world is a beautiful place when we're taking care of each other, as you bestowed us in the garden to be stewards for each other. So help us, as Christians, as Americans, as human beings, to be people who stand for love, righteousness, and justice. And gracious God, today is All Saints Day. So many of us have heavy hearts today because we think of the people in our world who are no longer with us, who are in your heavenly kingdom, and today they know what the smile of God looks like. And we rejoice because we are so thankful for that gift, for the people and the love that you surround us with every single day, that we get to share it and get to experience the love of God is such a grateful gift, and help us never to take it for granted. And gracious God, help us to remember that when we are selfish, when we lose our way, when we put our needs before others, help us to look for that reflection of Christ and see that being unselfish, being kind, being sharing, working hard, and striving to seek Christ in all things, in all places, is what you call us to do. But we know that we are our best self when we are our most compassionate and we are our most loving and we are seeking God everywhere we go. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture for today is Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, and can be found on page 849 in your pew Bibles. Now there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Thank you, Rick. Our gospel today comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 to 52, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, for he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward and bring their toys up. We have another special Fourth Sunday children's lesson. A shark stapler? So good morning, everybody. How we doing? So before we get started, everybody's got to share what your costume was yesterday at our Halloween party. So let's work this way. Aubrey, what was yours? Elsa, you were Elsa. You had a light-up dress. What are you, Rylan? You were what? Ghostface. He was Ghostface. He's a scary guy. Paige, who were you? Victoria, that was a good one. It was a scary one. Nick, what were you? You're the Grim Reaper, so he was pretty scary as well. We had a lot of good costumes on yesterday. Yeah, right?
He also did have the actual axe.
He did have the axe. It was a really good costume. It was a very cool costume. So what we're going to talk about is All Saints Day today, and I'm going to use all the objects you gave me today to build this message. And so why do you think we celebrate Halloween? What makes Halloween special? Aubrey? We get to go trick-or-treating. What else do we get to do on Halloween? Paige? It's your dad's birthday. That's a good celebration. What's fun about putting on a costume? Because you can be anything you want to be. You could even be a unicorn if you wanted to be. And so what we're going to talk about on All Saints Day. All Saints Day is the church's version where we remember that there are many people that we strive to be, but we don't put on costumes to be like them. We learn from the character traits that they taught us. So it could be our mom, our dad, our grandma, our grandpa. It could be famous people like John Huss or St. Peter that you learned about today, or St. Teresa or St. Mary. So when we look at these people, we want to emulate the good traits that they have, the good things they do to serve people. So what are some good things that a unicorn could do for people? Paige? It could do magic. What else could it do? Tricks. It could get you from any place you needed to be, right? And it could stand out so everybody would know who you were. And that's how a unicorn would be a saint. How about a panda bear? What are some things that a panda bear does? Aubrey? They eat bamboo, yeah, and what does that do? That gets them nice and big, and where do we see panda bears? Nick? China? And where can we see them in America? It starts with Z. The zoo. And by coming to the zoo and serving and letting people see all these panda bears bring so much joy to young children. And that's what makes them saints, is because they put smile on kids' faces all day. And then staplers. A shark stapler. Are we going to make that a piranha stapler? I don't know where you got that one from. So what's important? What does a stapler do? Rylan? And it's a simple thing, right? Aubrey, what do you... Yeah, you can staple it together, yep, and put it like that. See, there's a lot of people in the church who are saints that we take for granted, like the stapler. Because the stapler is something where you take it for granted. Because if you have it and it works and things go good, it's awesome. But if you've ever been in the office and you've had a book to put together and you don't have a stapler and you're out of staples, guess what? It's pretty rough, and you really wish you had a stapler that you could count on. And just like in the church, there's so many people who do things behind the scenes. who make sure that the church is set up for worship on Sunday, who make sure the grass is cut, who make sure that we are able to do all the ministries that we want to do. And you may not see them, you may take them for granted, but behind the scenes, they're doing the little things to make things happen. And then last and not least, one of my favorites, who do we got here? Snoopy. What makes Snoopy a saint? Depending on your theological ramifications. Paige? He does have a jack-o'-lantern. Can anybody tell me what kind of dog Snoopy is? What kind of dog is Snoopy? He is a special dog, but he's actually based on a real dog. It starts with a B. Does anybody know? A beagle. Now, if you know me, one of my favorite things growing up was that I had a beagle named Homer, and that was one of my most favorite dogs in the world. And you know why that dog was a special saint to me? Because he followed me everywhere I went, and he made sure I was cared for in some of the biggest and most important moments of our lives. And there are some beagles that are saints, because you can see beagles at airports. You know what they're doing? What are they doing, Paige? They can help people with disabilities, but beagles have one of the strongest noses in the world, which any of you who've had beagles knows that gets them into trouble more often than not. But when they use their nose for good, they can sniff out dangerous things at airports, people, things that would be unsafe, and beagles can find them and save people, and that makes them special. And you may not even notice them, but they do important things to make our world safe every day. So if you want to be a saint in your life, I hope you remember that you don't have to be this big, awesome, amazing person. You just got to do little things, like this little beagle here. Take care of the people around you. Show up for them. Give them hugs when they're going through tough times. Play with them. Be excited when they get home, because that's important. You do those little things, and you'll be the saint that God asks you to be, okay? So thank you all very much. We're going to put these in the middle, and let's get in our circle and pray. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for these kids, for the wonderful costumes and joy that they brought to our Halloween party last night, and the constant joy they bring to our church. Help them to strive to be saints, to be good people, to be compassionate people, and not put too much pressure on themselves, but to enjoy life and enjoy school. And please bless them as they go forth in their weeks and carry God's love with them everywhere they go. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab your snack. Good job. At this time, you may remain seated as we sing together, Christians, Dismiss Your Fears.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we ask that you open our heart, our minds, and our ears to the message that you inspire within us today. And most importantly, to carry your word with us in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your wonderful and loving name, amen. So All Saints' Day is a wonderful celebration in the life of the church. We got to spend a lot of time in Sunday school looking through some of the different saints and seeing the impact that they made on the church. Some were fishers of men, some like Teresa were very caring and compassionate, and we got to see that so many different people have allowed the church to persevere through so many years. It is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because we owe a debt of gratitude to those important figures in our lives who showed us what Christ-like love looks like. For most of us, I would bet we're not converted with Bible verses or miraculous conversions, but because someone important in our lives took us by the hand and showed us what God's love means to them. As a reminder that there are saints above us and there are saints around us. See, the interesting thing about All Saints Day, which is traditionally celebrated November 1st, is that it has a very close relationship to a big holiday we still celebrate this fall. Because November 1st, going back to the Middle Ages, marked the holiday of Samhain, who was a Celtic lord of death. And November 1st marked the beginning of winter. And in the Celtic celebration of the Middle Ages, this was a huge holiday. And the eve of Samhain, October 31st, was when the dead, ghosts, witches, elves, and others came to inflict pain upon those who had done them harm. Does that sound familiar to another holiday that continues to live on October 31st? And now the church, in their infinite wisdom, realized that trying to stop Halloween as we know it today would be futile. So All Saints' Day was used as a reminder of Christianity's impact on those who have gone before us, to remind us of the authenticity of the gospel before us. Because All Saints' Day is a great reminder of the interconnectedness of God's creation. We are not where we are in this world today by accident. We need to believe this. Many of you, I encourage you, if you do not know the answer to this question, to get educated on this. Do you know why your family came to the United States? Let me see by a show of hand. Do any of you know the answer to that question? Do you know what brought your family here? I don't. So that's a question that I need to work hard on to answer. Because it's an important question to answer to have. Because the very courage that may have led one of your ancestors to get on a boat, take a chance, and head to a foreign land may be the very same courage that lives within you and inspires us to take risks that we didn't even know we were capable of taking. That same courage could be within you. And it's important to know the stories that connect us to previous generations. There's a Disney movie that I got to watch recently that did a beautiful job of that. The movie Coco. Who's seen Coco? It's a great movie. Get it on Netflix. It's a tearjerker. I was surprised at how much that movie moved me. But this movie does a great job of depicting how we are connected to our generations, because it's about a Mexican family and their celebration of the Day of the Dead and how in their culture you are connected to everybody before you. One of the great quotes from this movie is, "Our memories, they have to be passed down by those who knew us in life, and the stories they tell about us. For once we are gone, we live on in the memories of others. That is how we continue to survive." Brothers and sisters, who will share our memories? Who will share the stories of us? Many of us have been impacted by the saints that have gone before us. So what are you doing to keep those special memories alive for future generations? For one of the biggest mistakes we make is thinking that sainthood or even being a good Christian is about being a perfect disciple who never falls down on their faith journey. Nothing could be further than the truth, because we don't always see Christ with the eyes of faith as Bartimaeus did.
But we can always come back. We can always turn around. There is always recovery from our sinful ways. And we all struggle with keeping the faith sometimes. That's a natural part of life. Much publicity was given to the letters of Mother Teresa, which came out after she passed away. And in those letters, they were often darker and full of more doubts than people expected. Mother Teresa herself wrote, "Please pray specifically for me, that I may not spoil his work, that our Lord may show himself. For there is such darkness within me, as if everything was dead." She wrote that in 1953. It has been like this more or less from the time I started the work. And think about all the wonderful things she did after that, to live with that doubt and to turn that into faith. And Moravian historian Craig Atwood pointed out that Bishop Comenius, one of our big figures, shared similar doubts in his writings after two of his kids died as a result of the plague. Comenius said, "After having been exposed to much danger and having thoroughly wearied and exhausted my mind, I have found nothing but pain myself and hatred towards others." See, now I don't share that with you to knock those people down, but to remind you that we all go through those struggles. And what allowed them to do that is because they were willing to open up their hearts, because God does not grade our faith on a pass-fail basis. Because faith in Christ is more than simply just passing a test. And it's okay to have doubts, to have worries, to have anxieties on our faith journey, but we must communicate with God our true struggles, if we want a real relationship with our Redeemer and not just a superficial friendship. And that's why people like Comenius and Mother Teresa should be uplifted, because the fact that they were willing to let God into that part of their souls, the part where they were really hurting, the places they were really wounded, it was a reminder that their relationship with God was not just superficial, it was real. And they were not just using God as a genie, but as a personal friend and the key to salvation in their own lives. And that reminds us all to keep our relationship with God very personal. Because All Saints Day becomes personal on a few different levels throughout our lives. We all pretty much go through a similar journey. We have different tracks to get there. But the first phase is when we as a child say goodbye to someone important in our own lives. I personally still remember the pew I was sitting in for my grandma's funeral, how itchy the dress clothes felt, and how with tears down my eyes, the first time I didn't need to just hear the words to the Lord's Prayer, but I needed to believe those words. I remember that day like it was yesterday. The next phase is when both of our parents die, or a sibling or a close friend in age passes. And that phase makes us realize how vulnerable life is. And there's not a whole lot standing between us and life eternal. And the third phase is when we reach a point in life where the names at the cemetery are far more familiar to us than the people we are interacting with in this world. And that too can be a humbling experience. And the final phase is when we become saints ourselves. We won't know what that phase is like until we cross that bridge on our own with Jesus guiding us by the hand. And each phase has a way of reminding us a little bit more of our own mortality, our own flesh, our own vulnerability. For dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But in each of those phases, God is holding our hand, reminding us that the privilege that we have in life is sacred and should be enjoyed and should be cared for and loving. And Peter Lockhart, a theologian, points out that our gospel today, Bartimaeus in Aramaic means son of poverty or son of unclean. So in other words, Bartimaeus may not have been the specific name of the blind man Jesus healed, but perhaps his name was symbolic for Jesus, for who Jesus came to reach. The blind, the poor, the hungry, the sick, the sinful, all of us, those are the people that Jesus wanted to turn into saints, to remind them that they are more than their weaknesses. So therefore, when we think of the saints, who led us to Christ, we should not quiver with unworthiness or self-doubt. For just like the people, Mother Teresa, Bishop Comenius, and even Bartimaeus were people who at times doubted and lost their way. But God worked through each one of them and did remarkable things. And none of those figures will be remembered for their doubts, but for the great things that they did in the name of God. So, brothers and sisters, the question I leave you with is, what remarkable things can God do through you? What great things can he do with your heart to inspire others, to support people? Because I guarantee you, Mother Teresa didn't wake up in 1953 and say, hey, I want to be a saint tomorrow. But it was small acts of kindness. Because I guarantee if you served the people on the streets of Calcutta and Guatemala and all the different places that she served, you're not looking for sainthood in those places. You're looking to give somebody a meal, to help them, to support them. So I encourage you, as you go about your weeks this week, to look for those small acts of kindness, because that's what sainthood is built on. Those small moments where we remind people of the love of God that is before us. And it's all connected, because we remember so many of us welcome Christ in our hearts, not because God sent a light down or because we had some big instrumental moment, but because of the compassion and love of somebody who cared for us, who opened a door for us. And remember that. Small acts of kindness, small acts of love, that's what God calls us to do. And you look at Bartimaeus, who was just a poor blind man, and who knew that his faith had made him well. And maybe that's the courage, because 12 people around Jesus had sight but no faith, but there was a man with no sight who had faith and was able to inspire people to see that Jesus was more than words, but his compassion, his ministry, was a way of life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I give you thanks for all the saints that have helped build Schönbrunn Moravian Church, for all the saints in this room right now who continue to strive and seek God. Help us to remember that you do not call us to be perfect, but you call us to be faithful, to be hopeful and loving and prayerful in all we do. And when we have doubts and when we have anxieties and when we have worries, help us to not let them build, but to turn them over to you, to trust you, God. For you can plant any seed, and you can grow anything into something beautiful and something faithful. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. At this time, I ask you to stand as we join together in song. Brothers and sisters, your mission today is to share the story of a saint in your own life, with somebody in your family, somebody important with you, because they will live on in the memories and the stories and the blessings and joys that we share with each other. So I really do challenge you to keep those memories alive. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.